Just a week before Pesach, so I thought we'd talk a little bit about Inyanei Pesach to prepare us for the Yom Tov. You know, the Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta, we're learning Psachim this year, we're learning the end of Psachim, we're talking so much about the Seder, that the Mishnah of Daf Beis in the beginning of the Masechta mentions that there's a chiyuv to be bodek chametz, right? On the night of the 14th, one has to check for chametz to get rid of all the chametz in the home. Why do we have to be bodek chametz? So the Rishonim have different reasons that we know we're not allowed to own chametz on Pesach, we're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach, so we have to get rid of all the chametz so that we don't violate any of the Yisurim associated with Pesach, that we shouldn't come to own the chametz, we shouldn't come to eat the chametz. How are we bodek chametz? How do we check for the chametz? Le'or haner. The Mishnah says that you have to check with the or haner. And the Gemara says that you shouldn't check le'or avuka, you shouldn't check with the light of the torch, because we're afraid that you won't get into the chorim mustakim, you won't be able to get into the nooks and crannies, you'll be afraid you'll burn down your house. So you should dafka use the or haner. Rabbi Willig holds bizman hazeh, since we don't use neros too much for light, so even the or haner might be dangerous, it's better to be bodek with a flashlight. Use a flashlight, that way you won't be scared that you'll scared to go into the nooks and crannies, so it's better to be bodek with a flashlight. Some hold because the Gemara learns the idea of being bodek le'or haner from psukim, ner miner, and ner minish, all the back and forth, all the different psukim there. So maybe start with the ner, maybe make the bracha and start the bedikah with the ner, just to be mekayim the psukim, mekayim the drushes of the psukim. But then you should switch to a flashlight to do the real bedikah, so that you'll be able to get into the charmas tokim, you'll be able to do a proper bedikah. It's important to keep in mind that we're not looking for crumbs. That's not what we're looking for. Piruim or batili, they're not choshev, they're batim. We're looking for a cheerio, we're looking for something choshev that someone might actually eat. No one's going to eat a crumb. You find a crumb, you're not going to eat a crumb, you'll sweep it up. But if you find a cheerio, a child might eat a cheerio, a person might eat it. If you find a cheerio, if you're not thinking, you're fatracht in learning, cholamoyed, and you see a cheerio, you might actually pick it up and eat it. It's like a gluskia yofa, is the lashon of the Gemara. It's not, I don't know if it's a gluskia yofa, it's not like a muffin, right? But it's a davar choshev, that's what you're looking for. People go crazy looking for crumbs. We're not really looking for crumbs. Okay, if it's chametz, it's an inyan to destroy it. But that's not really what we're looking for in the bedikah, we're looking for something choshev. When is the zman of bedikah? So this year we have something special. As the Mishnah says, normally we're bodek on the night of the 14th, the night before Erev Pesach. But of course, since Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos this year, we can't be bodek Friday night, Le'or Haner, right? You can't do that. So the Bedika is brought back to Thursday night, the night of the 13th. That's unique to this year, that the Bedika's Chametz is going to be on Thursday night. Even though normally we assume that if you're bodek before the actual Zman of the Chiyah, before the Zman of the Takana, you don't make a bracha on the Bedika. There's an obligation to be bodek for chametz if a person is in his home, is in his makom, within 30 days of the Yom Tov. That's a Chiyah Bedika. Someone who's in the dormitory, but he's going home a couple of days before Yom Tov, there's a Chiyah Bedika in the dormitory. But he doesn't make a bracha on that Bedika because he's not going to be bodek on the night of the actual Chiyah, the actual Takanas Chachamim. This year, the night of the actual Chiyuv is not the night of the 14th, but rather the night of the 13th. So someone who's bodek before the night of the 13th would not make a bracha either. But someone who's bodek the night of the 13th will make the bracha, even though in a typical year, you're bodek the night of the 13th, you would not make a bracha because it's before the Zman, but this year it's not before the Zman. So we're bodek on the night of the 13th this year, Thursday night. Why do we do it dafka at night? Because the Or HaNer makes it easier to be bodek rather than the light of the sun. It's better, it's more focused. The flashlight is also a more focused light. People are metsuyim bevateyim at night. They're more around at night. So therefore the Gemara says that Chazal were mesaken to do the bedikah dafka at night. But of course you can't do the bedikah Leil Shabbos. That's why we do it the night before. What do we do about bir chametz this year? So normally we mavar chametz on Erev Pesach before the end of the fifth hour. Why are we mavar chametz Erev Pesach before the end of the fifth hour? Because once the sixth hour begins, the chametz is also ba'anah midrabanan already. It's also ba'anah min haTorah after chatzos, but midrabanan it's also ba'anah at the beginning of the sixth hour, so you can't be mevatel the chametz once it's asa banor. If it's not in your reshus, then you can't be mevatel it. We want to be able to be mevatel the chametz after the beer, so we dafka mevar the chametz before the beginning of the sixth hour to ensure that you'll be able to be mevatel. If erev Pesach is chalios b'Shabbos, so we're not going to be mevar chametz on Shabbos itself. If you mevar the chametz on Friday, so you can eat chametz on Friday. We're going to eat chametz on Shabbos. We'll be mekayim shalashudas on Shabbos. It's like, what's the inyan to do beer chametz in the morning? When is the zman to be mevar chametz if we're doing it on Friday? It's not erev Pesach. There's no isra'ana in the afternoon. So what are we doing? So the mechaber quotes that even if erev Pesach is chalios b'Shabbos, right, we try to be mevar the chametz before or at the beginning. The Shulchan Aruch says the beginning of the sixth hour. Shulchan Aruch actually says before chatzos. Before chatzos on the 13th. Why? That it's mutter to eat afterwards. The answer is we're afraid that in another year people will make a mistake. They'll say, well, on the day before we weren't allowed. Right, they're not going to realize that Erev Pesach was chalios b'Shabbos. They'll think that we'll mevar chametz in the afternoon. So they'll think on Erev Pesach on a regular year you could be mevar chametz in the afternoon too. Gewalt, that's terrible. Right? Once it's after chatzos, there's an issa chametz. You're not even allowed to own chametz then. So Chazal said that even if Erev Pesach is chalios b'Shabbos, the zman of beer should still be around the sixth hour. But not the sixth hour of Erev Pesach, but rather the previous day on the 13th. So that's what we try to do. It's a little bit more cold, as the Shulchan Aruch says, you have to do the Bir Chametz before Chatzos. Mishnah Berurah says you should do it at the beginning of the sixth hour. What's the beginning of the sixth hour? It should be before the sixth hour. The answer is, since there's no Issur D'Rabbanan on the 13th Bichlal, so technically speaking, you could really do it later. So as long as you do it around the sixth hour, that's enough. So we could be a little bit more makel. So if you do it at the beginning of the sixth hour, that's fine too. That's also okay. The halacha is, as we mentioned, that if a person is in his home within 30 days before the Yom Tov, he has a chiyuv b'dikas chametz. We know that the Tosefta says that one is allowed to sell his chametz to a goy. It doesn't have to be mevar all the chametz. You don't have to destroy to get rid of all of the chametz, but you can sell it to a non-Jew. And bizman hazeh, even though the Tosefta seems to be talking about some shas adchak and some extenuating circumstance, but bizman hazeh, this is the minik, right? That we sell our chametz. It's a whole discussion if you can sell chametz be'en, actual chametz, or only taroves chametz, only a mixture of chametz. Many are makel to sell chametz be'en, to sell actual chametz. Even those who are machmir to sell only taroves chametz, they won't sell, let's say, bread or pasta or something like that that's real chametz, but they'll only sell a mixture of chametz. Many are makel to sell liquor, to sell whiskey. Even a whiskey is really chametz be'en. It's not. That's not a taroves chametz. A chametz that's created by steeping the hops, steeping the grain, you know, in the water. That's chametz itself. It's liquid chametz, but it's mamish chametz. So people are makel for that because it's expensive. So, you know, to throw out the schnapps, it's too difficult. So people are makel to do that. So the shaila is raised. Let's say a person is going to be selling his chametz to the guy. Let's say he's going away for Yom Tov. And he wants to sell his chametz to the guy. Let's say he doesn't want to do bedikas chametz bichlal. So aside from selling the chametz to the guy, he wants to just not have to do bedikas. So he'll rent the whole home, or he'll rent the whole apartment to the non-Jew. So is he chayiv in a bedikah? Is he chayiv in a bedikah? Let's say he's going to be there even after the night of the 13th this year. Night of the 13th, Thursday night, is the time of the chiyuv. So let's say he's going to stay until Friday morning. Or Friday morning he's going to go off to wherever he's going to go for Yom Tov. So is he chayiv to do a bedikah on the night of the 13th? That's the question that the Achronim raised. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this shayla at the end of Siman Tov Lamed Vav. Some of the Achronim say, why should he be chayiv in a bedikah? Look, any chametz that he finds, he's going to be destroying the next day. So if he sells the chametz to the goy, it's no worse than destroying the chametz. He's doing a beer chametz. The mechira is like a beer, it's like a tashbisu. So why shouldn't that work? Others say, maybe it works as tashbisu, but you still have a chiyuv bedikah. You have a chiyuv bedikah. The takana sacham is that if you're in the home the night when Chazal and Mesakim to do a bedikas chametz, the night of the 14th on a regular year, and the night of the 13th this year, so then you have a chiyuv bedikah. Even if you're going to sell all of the chametz later, but you still have to be bodik. It sounds strange, but kach tiknu chachamim, that you have a chovas bedika. So to avoid this shaila, whether you have a chovas bedika, if you're going to sell everything to the guy the next day, so there are some rabbonim that do two mechiras. They do a mechira that's chal Erev Pesach, or this year that's going to be chal on the 13th, right? On Erev Shabbos, on Friday. And then they have a mechira that's chal the previous day, the day before the chovas bedika, for all those individuals who are going away. So they sell their homes, or they sell all of the chametz in the home the day before the chovas bedika. And they stay in the home that night. The guy allows them to stay in the home for the extra night. That's okay. That's assumed that that's what the guy allows them to do. But once they sell the home to the guy from the day before, then they don't have a chovas bedika, because the night of the 13th, when the chovas bedika is chal, they're not going to be in the home. They don't own the home anymore. The guy is renting the home. So then there's going to be no chovas bedika. They're not going to be chal. There is one opinion in the Chasam Sofer that even if by selling the home you'll absolve yourself of the chovas habayis, there's like a chovas habayis that the bayis is not bodok, so you have a chiyuv bedika that you're not going to have anymore because it's not your home. But if you lived in a home that has a chiyuv bedika, maybe there's a chovas gavra too, says the Chasam Sofer. There's a chiyuv on the gavra to do a bedika samitz, some kind of bedika samitz. So that chovas gavra you're not going to absolve yourself from. So some say in order to be machmir for the Chasam Sofer, you should leave over an area that you're not going to sell to the guy. Leave over an area and do a bedika just in that particular area. Of course, the other solution is that if you're going somewhere else and you're there before the night of the 13th, before the chovas, this year, before the chovas time of the chovas bedika, you can do a bedika in the other place. That you can do. But if you're going Friday to the other place, so then you can't do the bedika the night before. So some say that you should leave over an area and you can do a bedika in that particular area. L'chatchila, a person should do a bedika the night before they leave their place, if they're going to be leaving their makom to be somewhere else for the yomtiv. So like if someone is in a dormitory and he's going home, then the time to do bedika is the night before he leaves. Let's say a person is leaving, I don't know, Tuesday morning. He's going to leave Tuesday afternoon after shir. Right? He's not going to miss a shir. He's going to be here for Tuesday morning. And then after the shir, he's going to leave. Oh. So when does he do bedika? He should do bedika in his apartment or in the dormitory Monday night, the night before. Let's say a person forgets to do bedika. He didn't realize. So b'di'evet, you can do it by day. Mishnah Berurah says you can do it by day. B'di'evet, it's better to do it. La'or haner, la'or ha-flashlight, the night before. But if you forget to do it, b'di'evet, you can do it by day as well. Let's say there are two roommates, they're leaving at different times. Question, Ephraim. To do what? Oh, so that's what I was about to talk about. If there are two roommates in the apartment, so then they don't both have to do a bedika. One of them could do a bedika for both of them. Still doesn't matter. You can appoint a shliach to do the bedika. Yeah, 100%. He's not making a bracha anyway because it's before the zman of the ikar takana. But you can appoint a shliach to do the bedika. He can do the job for you. He can do the job for you. Yeah. The minig is not only do we sell the chametz to a guy, but we actually rent him the makom that the chametz is in. We want to do a kinyan chatz. We do multiple kinyanim with the guy. So we like to rent the place. So some ask, but it says in my lease that I'm not allowed to sublease the property to anyone else. How can I sublease it to the guy? The answer is that this is not included in your contract. This is a religious sublease. And that's not what they were. That's not what they meant. So it's perfectly legal. It's not a problem. How do we do a mechiras chametz? So we tell the Rav to be mocha chametz for us. And if you notice, if you've done a mechiras chametz before, the Rav will do a kabbalas kinyan with you. We'll do a kinyan suder. That he'll give you a pen or he'll give you a yarmulke, a handkerchief or something, and you'll pick up that handkerchief, and you know that formalizes something. The question is, what's it formalizing? Some people think that you're selling your chametz to the Rav, and then the Rav sells it to the guy. That's not what you're doing. The Kinyan Suda really is formalizing the shlichus of the Rav. Now the Rav is your shliach, belev shalem. and the Rav can sell the chametz. The chametz is owned by you until the Rav sells it to the guy. The Rav doesn't own all of your chametz. The Rav will do all the kinyanim with the guy to acquire the chametz from all of the yidden that he's helping them sell their chametz. But you're just doing a kinyan suda to formalize the minu shlichus with the Rav. So some ask, let's say I can't get to the Rav, or it's COVID and it's dangerous to get to the Rav. What can I do? Can I appoint the Rav on Zoom? The answer is, of course, you can appoint the Rav on the phone also. But it's important to keep in mind that you should do it b'lev shalem. There's the question that, you know, people are not going to take Mechiras Chametz seriously because the whole thing sort of looks like a joke. You know, we're selling it to the guy, and then after Yom Tov, immediately he's going to sell it back to us. So, you know, people tend to not take it seriously. So to give a special tokef, to give more strength to the whole Mechira, we do this Kabbalah's Kinyan. We do the Kinyan Sudas, that people take it more seriously. But the Kabbalah's Kinyan is just on the Minu Shlichas. So as long as you tell the Rav, I am appointing you B'Lev Shalem with a full Gemiras Das, that you should have the power to sell my chametz to the guy, so if you do it on Zoom, it's even better, then you see each other. But even over the phone, even over the phone is fine. I mean, even online, if you fill some places, they have online forms that you can fill out, and then they'll do the Mechiras Chametz for you. Technically speaking, it's fine if you know that they're going to do it. There should be some kind of a clause that it should say, I'm doing it B'Lev Shalem with a full consent. I mean, you have to really do it with a full consent. And you should read all the details as opposed to all the other things that they say. You agree, right? You agree to, you know those things, right? With the 3 pages worth of all the guidelines and what you're agreeing to, and no one reads any of that, and you just click, yes, I agree. What did you agree? You agreed to sell your home and everything that you ever owned, and no one even knows what they're signing. You got to read this. You should read. You got to read the details of what you're agreeing to. If not, then the whole mechira is just a joke. So it's important that the minu shlichus should be serious. But then again, that's all it is. You're not selling anything to the rav. You're only making him a shliach to sell your chametz, and then he actually sells the chametz to the non-Jew. Anyone who's bodek chametz before the actual zman of the takana, so he just looks around. You look around with the flashlight to see what's there. You don't have to put out the 10 pieces of bread. That idea of putting out the 10 pieces of bread, that's only for the zman of the ikar takana. We want to make sure that you can make a brocha and you can actually find something. You'll accomplish something that the brocha is meaningful, and that a person will take the bedika seriously when you put out the bread. So then people take it seriously because they have to find something. You know, someone who put out the bread knows where the bread is, but you have to look. So, toch kedei looking for the bread, you'll do a good bedika, and it'll be a serious job. This year, there's a special halacha, and that is, when is Tainus Bechorim? On a year that Erev Pesach is Chalios B'Shabbes, so when are the Bechorim supposed to fast? So the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tov Ayin, Sif Aleph, writes, we know that the Bechorim fast on a typical Erev Pesach as a Zecher L'Neis, that they were saved from Makas Bechorus. But if Erev Pesach is Chalios B'Shabbes, the Trumas Hadeshin is of the opinion that we pushed the fast earlier. Obviously, we're not going to fast on Shabbos. But when should we fast? Should we fast on Friday? No, we're not going to fast Erev Shabbos either, because that's a problem of Kavod Shabbos. You're not going to come into Shabbos, you know, feeling good. You're not going to have a good Suda Shabbos. So we're makdim the Tainus to Thursday. Even though normally we never mark them a tainus, normally we push off a tainus later. Let's say Tisha B'Av is Chalios B'Shabbos, so we push off the tainus this Sunday. So why do we put the tainus earlier? I mean, clearly we're not going to push off the tainus until Pesach, but like, what's the heter to bring the tainus early? We never mark them a peronis. The answer is, this tainus is not a tainus of peronis. It's almost like a tainus of simcha. The Bechorim are happy that they were saved from Makas Becharos. So in such a context, it's mutter to be marked in the Tainus. The Beis Yosef quotes that there's another opinion that holds that in this circumstance, if you can't fast Erev Pesach itself, so then the whole Tainus is batal. Hol v'nidcha yidacha, once Tainus is nidcha, so then we don't fast at all. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes both deists, the Shulchan Aruch there in Siman Tov Ayin Siv Beis, he quotes both opinions as to whether we're marked in the Tainus Becharim to Thursday, or it just doesn't exist this year. There is no Tainus Becharim at all. The Ramah says the Minig is like the Svar Rishona, like the first Svar that we're Makdim the Tainus to Thursday. And that's what people do. Of course, our Minig is that we're Mitzdarif to a Siyam. Most people don't fast. Most Becharim don't fast even in a typical year. because they just mitzdarif to a seum, and they feel the sense of simcha, and that parters them from the fast. It's a lighter type of fast, so that would parter them. But you see from the poskim, from the Shulchan Aruch, Mishneh Berurah, that they took this seriously. Mishneh Berurah talks about if a person is fasting on Thursday, so then is he allowed to eat before Bedikas Chametz? Mishneh Berurah entertains such a possibility. He says, you know, if you're thinking, you're not going to have the energy for Bedikas Chametz, because Bedikas Chametz takes a long time. You know, it could take a couple of hours to look through the nooks and the crannies and all the rooms and everything. You've got to take Bedikas Chametz seriously. That's what the Mishneh Berurah is assuming, right? So he says it, right? It takes a lot of energy, and if you're fasting and you don't have energy, it might be difficult. So he talks about what to do. Maybe to appoint someone else to do the bidika, you can go eat, or maybe you can be toying a little bit to be able to do the bidika. It's a tzarech of the bidika, but you see from the Mishneh Berurah that they clearly were fasting. Most of all, Bechorim don't fast the time of Bechorim. But it's daif to asim. It's daif to asim, and that parters us from fasting. And finally, of course, the Ikka Nakuda this year that Erev Pesach is Chalios B'Shabbos is how to fulfill Sholosh Sudos on Shabbos. We discussed this at great length for the Lomdish Shiurim Baruch Hashem. But just to review Lemaisa in just a few minutes, right? What's the issue again? So we know that on Erev Pesach there's an Issur Chametz after the fourth hour. At the same time, there's an Issur to eat Matzah on Erev Pesach. And there's a chiyav of shalosh sudos. There's a chiyav of shalosh sudos, right? Not just shalosh sudos. You have to eat two meals on the day of Shabbos. So what are you supposed to do? How are you supposed to fulfill all of these different mitzvahs? So the Shulchan Aruch says, fulfill it with matzah ashira. You could use matzah ashira. Shulchan Aruch assumes that matzah ashira meperes are not machmitz, so there's no issur chametz. You can eat matzah ashira on Pesach itself. So the Shulchan Aruch says that's the best way to fulfill shalosh sudos. You'll do both meals regular time. Have one meal in the morning, another meal in the afternoon. Even if you assume shalosh sudos has to be fulfilled, has to be eaten dafke after chatzos, there's no problem. You'll use matzah ashira. The Rama is troubled with this because the Rama assumes that maybe peiros can be machmetz, maybe memar lahachmetz even. Maybe it can become chametzik even more quickly. So we're machmer not to eat matzah ashira, except for a chol and a zaken. We don't eat matzah ashira because we're afraid that it might be chametz. So if it might be chametz, then how should you fulfill shalosh sudos? What should you do? So the Rama says, fulfill shalosh sudos in the afternoon with basar v'dagim. You can't have matzah on erev Pesach, right? Kala ochel matzah erev Pesach yilabol arusasav beis chametz. That you can't do for sure. And you can't have chametz after the fourth hour. So even if you'll have lechem ishti, you'll have challah before the fourth hour. It's quite early. But you can do that, but then shalosh sudos you're not going to be able to do after chatzos. If you'll be machmir to have shalosh sudos not after chatzos, you can't use challah and you can't use matzah ashira. So what are you supposed to do? So the Rama says, don't use either. Just be mekayim with basar v'dagim, with minei peiros, and that's sufficient. But others feel like, well, that's questionable whether you can be yotze shalosh sudos with minei targima, with basar v'dagim. It's not so clear. So the Magen Avraham had a trick. He said, you know what you could do? Split the meal in the morning. He said, split the meal in the morning, then you'll be able to have your lechem, you'll be able to have two sudas of lechem in the morning before the fourth hour, before the issur chametz. And then the Magen Avraham says, but try to have shalosh sudos after chatzos too. After chatzos, you'll have the minei peiros, but before chatzos, you'll split the meal, and then you'll be able to be yotzei shalosh sudos according to all days. You'll have shalosh sudos of pas. According to that sheet, you'll be assuming that shalosh sudos can be eaten before chatzos, and you'll also be machmir to have shalosh sudos after chatzos, but for that chumrah, you'll obviously be assuming that shalosh sudos can be fulfilled without pas. So these are the different opinions. Many are machmir to try to daven early. You'll see there are going to be many earlier minyanim, many hashkama minyanim that will start at 7 o'clock. You don't have to start that early. 7 o'clock is fine. You'll finish at 9 o'clock in the morning. Since they've changed the clock, the Zman Issur Chametz is much later. You finish it by 9 o'clock in the morning or so, so then you'll be able to get the two meals. You'll be able to split the meal in two before the Zman Issur Chametz. You have the first meal, then you bench, and then you walk around or talk the Divrei Torah, have some kind of a hefsik between the two meals, and then you wash again. And you'll have the two sudas before the Zman Issur Chametz, and then in the afternoon, have basa v'dagim to be yotze shalosh shuras, according to the shitas that require that shalosh shuras should be eaten dafke after chatzos. But of course, for that shalosh shuras, ensure that you eat it before the 10th hour. Right? Samach l'mincha, you're not supposed to eat a big suda before the yomtiv, because we want to make sure that you'll have a teyovon for the matzah. Someone recently contacted me and said, maybe on Erev Pesach, Chalios B'Shabbos, you should use matzah mevushelas. Maybe that's the simplest solution to the whole problem. We talked about this too, not at the time that we discussed Erev Pesach, Chalios B'Shabbos. But we discussed that matzah mevushelas, you can't be yotze the mitzvah matzah with on the Seder night. It's not lechem oni either. Matzah mevushelas, well, actually, there's a different reason. Matzah mevushelas doesn't have the tam matzah. Right, matzah mevushelas doesn't have matzah shira is not lechem oni, but matzah mevushelas, even if it is lechem oni, doesn't have tam matzah. So you can't be yotze the mitzvah matzah with that type of matzah. So this individual suggested that if Erev Pesach is Chalios B'Shabbos, you should use matzah mevushelas. You could eat shalosh shuras after chatzos, just use matzah mevushelas, and that'll solve your problem, because it's mutter to eat that matzah even Erev Pesach. It's not, there's no Issur Chametz because it's already been baked, so there should be no Issur Chametz. There's no minig not to eat Gebrucks Erev Pesach, so there shouldn't be any problem at all. L'chor, that's the simplest solution to the problem. So I told him, it sounds great. It sounds like a great solution. The question is, how do you make matzah mevushelas? You gotta put the matzah into the boiling water long enough, leave it in long enough that it is matzah mevushelas. It's gotta get a little soggy. If you just dunk it in and take it right out, I'm not sure that the Shane Bishel is gonna be chalin it. And if you leave it in too long, so then if it gets soggy, it'll break apart. You'll lose the lecha mishnah. It's not going to be lecha mishnah anymore. So he told me that there's a way to do it. He was describing to me, showed me pictures. He said, very interesting. Very interesting. So if you can do it, if you can figure out a way to do it, I'll talk to you about the details if you want after shiur. If you can think of a way to do it, so then you can use matzah mevushelas, and then you can be yotze kedasu kedin, all three sudas. I don't think that's the minig. I think most people, it's very complicated. It's a very complicated procedure because you have to dry the matzahs after you cook them. They have to be cooked before Shabbos, but you have to dry the matzahs because you can't eat wet matzah. I mean, that's just not edible, right? That's a meal. So obviously you have to dry it, but you have to cook it at least a day before so you can dry it. You have to, like, put it out in front of a fan, make sure the fan dries the matzah. It's a complicated procedure. It's complicated to cook the matzah. It's complicated to dry the matzah. So it's probably a lot easier to wake up a little bit earlier. I know waking up early is not an easy thing, but it might just be easier to wake up early, to daven hashkama, to split the meal with challah, and then you'll be able to get the two meals with challah in the morning, and then in the afternoon you'll eat basa v'dagim, you'll eat another meal without the matzah, without the chametz for shalosh shuras, and you'll be yotzer according to all of the different shitas.